We are well into the season where lawn and garden care is part of your things to do around the house. Part of that care includes getting rid of and preventing weeds, crabgrass, other various annoyances. The products have long been available, and when the directions are properly followed, they do get the job done. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that the environmentalists have a problem with this? They insist that a base ingredient in these herbicides cause cancer. Here's something confusing in all this. The EPA recently published a report which said that there was no risk of cancer. But if you blinked, you missed that report, which has since disappeared. Here with the details about all this, which she recently wrote about in National Review Online, is food policy writer and contributor to the Genetic Literacy Project, Julie Kelly. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
And for the Genetic Literacy Project, if you were assuming the obvious for a website location, you are right, geneticliteracyproject.org. So what is the element of things that, for example, Ortho and other common brands use for getting the job done that seems to have people bothered and fear-mongering, I guess we can call it?
It is. And what this report said, and let's just so your listeners know, the report was completed in October of 2015. So here we are 8 months later. The report was filed by the EPA Cancer Committee, and it concluded that glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup and other herbicides, is non-carcinogenic. And it also debunked any link between glyphosate use and other illnesses, which really flies in the face of what the anti-GMO movement here and around the world is trying to convince people of. Glyphosate is used on genetically engineered crops, and it's also used on conventional crops. But the anti-GMO movement is targeting glyphosate now, as you said, kind of fear-mongering about this herbicide, since they really don't have any science or evidence to prove that GMOs are unsafe. They're now going after Roundup and glyphosate.
So do the pro-organic people come at this with any statistics or studies of their own? Because theoretically, I mean, you can make claims about anything, but, you know, for example, and this is something that they always tell you when you buy anything like Roundup or Ortho, follow the directions specifically on the back of the jug, as opposed to, granted, some people get stupid and say, well, I got a serious weed problem, so I'll double up on the use. And would that with any way, shape, or form create a danger that these people are claiming?
No. And, you know, you touch on a really good point. The pro-organic lobby really is at the core here of the anti-GMO movement. And so the reason why is because organic goods and products do not contain any GMOs. And so they want to scare consumers about GMOs so they're convinced to buy organic products. You know, now that they don't have any proof that GMOs are unsafe, and some of your listeners might be aware of the National Academies of Science report that came out that said that GMOs are safe, they don't harm human health or the environment. So they're, you know, it's scary. People naturally, I think, have a reaction towards any kind of chemical or herbicide that it could make people sick. And so I think that they're trying to capitalize on that kind of natural fear. And that's why these two congressional committees have asked the EPA why they posted that report, why it was pulled. And now, again, here we are 8 months later, and we still don't have it. And is there any way that they are working with the organic industry or the organic lobby wants to stop this report from being posted, because they know how damaging this will be to their current narrative?
Well, didn't the EPA, after stamping the report final, didn't the EPA come back and say, well, we're looking at situations and studying the situations in other countries, or something to that effect?
Well, what they did say is it was a preliminary finding, which nowhere did it say preliminary. It was marked final. It's an 86-page report, so it's pretty exhaustive. They said that they were looking at the monarch butterfly population and whether glyphosate is found in breast milk and other products. Now, that's fine, but that has nothing to do with the carcinogenicity of glyphosate. If you wanted to look at whether it impacts monarch butterfly population or where else it might be detected, they could certainly do that. But that is not what the agency was tasked with doing. They were tasked with finding out whether glyphosate has any cancer-causing properties. The committee concluded that it did not. And, you know, why are we still sitting here? The EPA actually was supposed to release this, have some findings last year, and now they're saying it will be released at the end of 2016. But these two congressional committees want to see what other correspondence or documents the agency has dating back to the beginning of last year, if they're working or collaborating with the organic industry or environmental groups to hold up this report.
So Julie Kelly, who is a food policy writer, contributor to the Genetic Literacy Project, which is on the web, geneticliteracyproject.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. There seems like the pro-organic activists like to use the court system to punish companies that they use glyphosate as well, and this is something we see for anyone who speaks out against global warming. It seems to be the new thing, too, as far as sue you into silence, I guess, is the new tactic.
Right. And they are using the court system now. So you have some activists filed suit against Quaker Oats, claiming that their natural label was misleading and false advertising because Quaker uses glyphosate to dry their oats. Now, oats are not genetically engineered or genetically modified, but they use it at the end to dry their oats to prevent mold and fungus. So they're targeting that. And then now in my article states Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and some other attorneys are suing Monsanto, claiming that glyphosate caused cancer for a California farmer. There was another lawsuit filed similarly, claiming that glyphosate caused cancer in a few other farmers. So, this is their tactic now. They are going to use the court system because it doesn't look like they're going to get much traction with the federal government. So that's how they're going to continue this, glyphosate causes cancer narrative by taking companies to court.
How much does this hark back to the days of Alar and apples? Remember those that wonderful journey?
Yes, right. You know, it's the same. It is the same approach because they're again. It strikes people as making sense that something like that you spray on any kind of produce might make you sick, but the science doesn't bear that out. And now we have better scientific methods to prove or disprove whether something can make you sick or cause illnesses or cancer. So the Alar I know was a few decades ago, I believe. But yes, it's a lot of the same environmental groups that are behind it. The bottom line is that there are millions of farmers around the world who rely on this herbicide, to grow their crops. And in the EU right now, because it's so politicized and the environmental groups are so active there, the EU is having limited, they're not able to recertify the use of glyphosate, which they need to do before June 30th. Otherwise, it will be essentially banned. So what are farmers going to use? You have to have weed killers. You have a product that's been safely used on the market for decades. If you ban it, what are you going to replace it with? I mean, you're not going to have people out there pulling weeds all the time. They need chemicals to grow their crops. So then they'll replace it with possibly something more toxic or a combination of chemicals that have not been as tested as glyphosate. It will really damage the agricultural industry in Europe, and hopefully that won't make its way overseas.
And certainly for the consumer, if you look at Roundup products, they're not cheap. They could range up to between $20 to $50, depending on what you're getting, ortho as well. So when you look for the consumer in the country, this was to follow suit with what the EU is headed to. Like, again, it's going to be if you want to maintain a large lawn or garden or do some home gardening, whatever the case may be, it's got the potential to become a greatly more costly if anything that'll be available might be the more expensive organic roots versus, pardon the pun there, but given the versus what is an effective chemical route.
Exactly. And that's why, farmers trust these products. They use them. They know that they're used safely. You have a lot of activists who have no idea what farming is about. You have people like celebrity chefs who think because they have a rooftop garden, they know about large-scale farming, and they don't. So you have a lot of people engaged in this conversation who really don't know what they're talking about, and they don't know the impact. You have a celebrity like Mark Ruffalo, who is an anti-fracking, you know, big environmentalist, and he's tweeting out and posting on social media supporting the ban of glyphosate in the European Union and hoping it happens here. Now, Mark Ruffalo, I guarantee you, has never worked on a farm, has no idea how to raise a crop or grow a crop, and yet here is somebody who is completely inexperienced, uneducated, chiming in on an issue he knows nothing about that could be potentially damaging. And he's influencing other people to think the same way. And it's really too bad that anybody would listen to someone who doesn't know what they're talking about instead of the farmers who do.
We've linked to Julie's article over at our website from National Review Online. Learn more about the Genetic Literacy Project with the touch on this and other related ideas. GeneticLiteracyProject.org. Julie Kelly, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.